Good afternoon and welcome back to our council meeting. We're going to continue with our agenda, and we did have some added items to the agenda, and we're going to start with 12.2, Councillor Haysom on coastal protection.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I previously had some materials that I was going to share, but I think if you'll bear with me, and I'll just sort of talk it through a little bit. As you probably know, the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities has a committee on climate change that's been tasked with dealing some of the issues, obviously, that municipalities are facing with climate change. And coastal protection is a big one. So what I would like for us to do is to refer this issue of coastal protection or I'm not really sure what to call the new, it's not an act, the new thing put forward by the Houston government. It's a plan, a plan with some mapping tools, hazard mapping tools. So, you know, Nova Scotia municipalities are supposed to work with that information, to work with templates provided by the province to come up with their own bylaws. You know, I would make the argument that a template isn't really the right way of going about it when we know how different all municipalities are, but nonetheless, that's what NSFM is tasked with doing and interfacing with the province on this issue. As we heard today, obviously, there are different ways of interpreting the data. I think that there's probably some likelihood of patchwork regulations put in place by different municipalities and issues around capacity and all of those things we've certainly talked about. And I think that NSFM and specifically the Committee on Climate Change is going to have to look at this pretty carefully. There's an issue that I do want to highlight, and that is the Sustainable Communities Challenge Fund. Now, the SCCF, more money was put into it by the provincial government anticipating that communities would want to come up with their own solutions and projects around coastal challenges. And NSFM is the sort of the body that's going to be overseeing some of those grant applications and working with municipalities. From what I've understood, there's a whole team of four people.
They administer that program.
Yes, they administer that program. So I had a really interesting conversation with someone who works specifically around nature-based solutions for coastal remediation. And I had a statement that actually was put together by a number of companies that I was hoping to share with everyone, and I can forward that around afterwards. But I'll give you the gist of it. These companies were working with a landowner who had concerns around erosion, and they wanted to find some nature-based solutions for how to deal with erosion and flooding. What they found was, because some of those nature-based solutions took place in the water, so sort of below the high water mark, they were just coming up against more and more challenges from DNRR and Environment and Climate Change and DFO, who had their own regulations and policies about work that could happen there. So what happened for this person, this landowner, is they were told, basically, you can make a hard barrier with armor rock or you can let your property erode. There was no room for those nature-based solutions because of the existing policies that are in place in other government departments. What I can anticipate happening is that NSFM staff members are going to get these applications for some coastal projects that are going to run into those same sort of challenges where there's different policies that exist in different government departments that could perhaps be at odds with that coastal solutions challenge. It's just another issue that I think should be highlighted for the NSFM Committee on Climate Change. And so what I'm hoping to do is put forward a motion, and if it's okay with you, Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
Please go
perhaps
ahead.
Perhaps I will do that. So, excuse me. What I would like to do is move that Municipal Council pass a resolution requesting the NSFM Board of Directors to consider the Coastal Climate Action Plan and the replacement of the Coastal Protection Act as an advocacy priority for NSFM. And further, given the urgent nature of the issue and the developing information coming from the province, such as we saw today, that the committee call a special meeting to immediately begin work and discussion. And I so move.
So moved by Councillor Haysom. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Statton. Discussion on the motion. And Councillor Haysom.
Thank you. So just to highlight, what I'm really asking for here is that as a municipality, we are referring it back to NSFM to say this is an important issue. It's something that it should be considered. It probably should be considered somewhat urgently. We as a municipality have done a lot of work around this, but we also know that there's municipalities that are just coming to the table around some of that coastal development issue, and also who maybe don't have the same capacity that Modal has had up until this point. So my hope is that by Modal sort of, you know, taking that direction, we have been, you know, upheld as the sort of shining leadership in the province of municipal work around coastal development, that we can take the lead to advocate that NSFM is actively dealing with this at their committee level. So I'm hopeful that that we can have support for that motion.
Deputy Mayor Oikle.
If we approve this motion, would that mean then that our own efforts to bring in coastal protection be at a halt while
no.
we wait?
No. What this does, the process for any resolution that is forwarded on by a council would go to the NSFM, and the NSFM would look at the resolution, and in light of how much correspondence they're getting around this issue, to prioritize and then send to the committee. It doesn't automatically go to the committee. We cannot direct this to go to the committee, but there is committees set up to do that work if that is the wish of the board and the rest of the units. We're one unit out of 49. And I do know that there is some work happening on this, and a lot of what is being talked about could already be in the process. So there's things happening already. Councillor Hubley.
I'm confused. This morning when the province was sitting here, I wasn't happy at all. Yeah, just makes no sense what they did to wait to release what they released with outdated information. How is what you want to do going to help us with these situations?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So one of the interesting things that a committee can do, a committee of NSFM can do, is they can request expert presenters to come and
yes.
speak to the committee. So they might be able to clarify some of those issues. To be clear, what the province has done is done. Mm-hmm. We get to do what we would like to do, and that's something that I believe will come back before this council before too long. My intent here is to ensure that NSFM has the support of various municipalities to say this is an urgent and important advocacy issue for NSFM to work on, so that committee is able to start meeting, maybe interface with the province to have a better understanding of how to deal with some of those issues and questions, and maybe improve templates, maybe be some advocacy around some of the funding pieces, which will inevitably be a part of it. So really what I'm asking this council to do is to refer this issue to NSFM.
And that's what the process is for issues when they come to the table and they define, they look at if they're municipally only or one municipal unit, if they have a provincial wide lens on them, which this one would have, and how many units are actually asking. Councillor DeLong.
Yeah, I just want to make mention of the fact that I am sitting on that advisory committee, and it is something that has been discussed around the table already, but having requests from municipalities gives it more weight yeah. and means that we can actually advise on it should the board choose to forward it to the committee. Thank you.
Councillor Statton.
Thank you. I'll support this too, because I think this might give us province-wide information that we're acting on our own now, or with the information that the province gave us, which conflicts with what we have. So this might give a more concise picture of what is needed for regulation and the parameters around it. So I will support this.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. We will now move down to 12.3, Councillor Bell, Community Development in Unzoned Areas. And if you could speak to this, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Recently, I've been contacted by five different individuals who are concerned what they see as unwanted development in their neighborhood. And the problem I got is the same as what happened to Councillor Haslam. It's an unzoned area without an area advisory committee. So basically, the individual can carry on and do what they would like to do. So I point out the fact of both the RV park in Cherry Hill, and then the coastal development concerns and cluster developments. These are all things that are continuing to take place that's causing havoc for the councillors in the districts where they are occurring. Now, while these projects are already underway, it's deemed that they're unwanted by the local residents. And nobody seems to want planning until it affects them. And I mean, I remember the discussions we had in the blockhouse area years ago. I had people phoning me, and that's not even my area, saying, you can't tell us what to do with our land. And anyway, they moved ahead with it, and now I've seen how they've controlled and were able to do things that the community wants, sort of with a community stamp onto it. So I've sort of bought into this planning a little bit. Now, I say that another example is a rock wall got built on George Island. That seemed to change the way a lot of people thought. And at the time, I thought it was important, and I supported a motion on March the 28th that we direct staff to work on coastal development as a policy. And so we moved ahead, and we got a lot of work done with that. We didn't necessarily all agree on everything, but we are certainly moving in the right direction. That motion was carried unanimously, and so that's where we started to go. But what I see has happened that during this past year, we haven't done any more work on the municipal-wide planning. So this is allowing people to do things that may not normally happen, or to the extent. People see 2040 plan coming, and things are happening, and our hands are sort of tied. Now, in the recent couple months, there is another section on this. It talks about the person who's doing this. I didn't want to put their name on this, and I think I just sent correspondence to the mayor on that. But they came into the community. They bought a residential property that was 1 acre or less. It's one of the old properties, so there's a lot of them that are not even an acre. So this has a house, a two-bay garage, and an outbuilding. So you know how much land you got left. On two sides of the property is a brook. So this individual decided they want to do a trailer park. And I understand they might even be trying to get provincial money on building these suites that they're going to say are suites for elderly people, which is, okay, I don't know, that's provincial matter. Can't really discuss that. But I do think that he's now located a shipping container on that property on the front lawn. And he brought in two trailers. Now, these are trailers like the tractor trailer, 18-wheeler.
Reefer trailers,
so
yes.
So he brought them in, parked them, unhooked it, and drove the tractor away. Yesterday, another one arrived. And I have a picture, which is not in this, which I see another trailer arrived across the road. I'm just surmising. I don't know about what this other trailer might be, but I suspect that it showed up there, that it's going to be part of this overall grand project that is happening. Currently, we don't have any regulations regarding RV parks. And if this individual was building additional structures on the property, he or she would require building permits. But these are vehicles, they're trailers. And the shipping crate, it was jacked up on blocks, but I understand that if he would have put it on a cement slab, he'd require a building permit. But this week it's been lowered to the ground on, I think, 4 cement blocks. I'd love our building inspector to go down there and just see if for all safety reasons, this container is set up in a safe manner. I noticed that the electricians have put a mask, electrical mask, on the outside. So I assume that they're going to bring power into this shipping container and then run extension cords to all the trailers. I don't know if there's any regulations on that or not. Yesterday, I had to go visit a neighbor who was upset by what was being located there. And I sat in the kitchen and talked to them, and I explained to them that we have no regulations and that this has been started. So even if we brought in regulations, this person would probably be able to continue on. You know what? That wasn't what that homeowner wanted to hear. But after 1 hour of talking with the person, I understood that they were not going to understand it from my point of view. So I got in my car and I left and said I would do what I could. When I got out to the end of his driveway, I looked up the road, I looked down the road, and went to haul out onto the highway, and I almost got T-boned. Because I didn't see, because the trailer is so far out in the road that I didn't see an oncoming vehicle, and I almost got smoked. Now, that individual, that resident, didn't even bring that to my attention. I was easy to find that out myself. Luckily, the vehicle that I missed seeing coming was driving at a reasonable speed. So it's in my opinion that MODL needs to get back on track at looking at municipal-wide planning before other communities face these same issues. I'm not trying to stop coastal planning. I'm just trying to enforce upon all of us that we need to look at every aspect of planning. And if that means we need more staff or whatever, or we need to, as councillors, dictate more time to the Planning Advisory Committee on their recommendations. I'm looking for solutions from the other people around the table here. I didn't necessarily come here with a plan of action. I thought that I wanted my peers to know that I've been subjected what Councillor Vino has been taken, what Councillor Haysom has been taken, and I believe that there are some other projects that are underway. I'd love to hear your ideas. If it leads to a motion, fine.
I guess when I look at this, again, this is not in a planned area. It looks like there is a roof going to be added to the top of the reefer trailer. It is on wheels, so as far as jurisdiction, it's classified as RVs. We see tiny homes that have the wheels under them, and when they have the wheels under them, they do not fall in the same category as what if you were building a small home on a foundation or blocks. It's different because they can be moved and they're considered an RV or a movable trailer. From a safety perspective, I do understand what you said about pulling out onto the road, and I do know where this location is, and I could see where that would be a hindrance to coming out of the driveways there. But at this point in time, and I'm going to refer to our Director of Planning, Jeff Merrill, there's no planning in this district whatsoever, no different than there is in a large portion of our municipality right now. Now, as we move forward with municipal-wide planning, which we are mandated to do by the province and have in place, you will see different zones probably for certain things and so on. And how that's classified. I also look at the direction that the province is taking with trying to put the nanny suites or the other units on properties to increase housing opportunities. So it's a twofold situation here. It's not just, and what these actually look like when they're finished aesthetically may be altogether different than what I'm seeing here now. And again, I look at the construction of tiny homes and some of them, and some of them are very well done and some of them may not be. But again, at this point in time, our jurisdiction is to move forward with municipal planning, as we're obligated to do, and set those areas where the community wants to see different things in their community. And whether that's residential, whether that's commercial, whether that's institutional, farming, whatever that zone happens to be, or across of all of them. But I did want our director of planning to comment at this point in time as to whether or not I'm wrong, and I've been wrong before, and I don't mind saying it, in relation to what I've just explained.
Yeah, no, you're on point. You're correct. Yeah, so building code, anything with wheels, the building code doesn't apply. It sounds like one of the units has the wheels removed, or is it, was that the shipping container?
That is a shipping container by the looks of it. I see that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so the tractor trailers where they have wheels don't need a building permit for that. You know, at this point, I can offer that, you know, our building staff can go have a look and just to confirm that no building permits are needed or required at this time. And if there are, then we'll take the appropriate steps from there. And as the mayor said, there is currently no land use planning in that area, so it doesn't control you know, the number of units that are permitted on a lot. It doesn't control, you know, the type or size of accessory structures either.
Councillor DeLong.
Thank you. So I think what I'm hearing from my colleague over there is concern that coastal protection planning has taken over as opposed to municipal-wide planning. So is that the case? Do we need more resources directed at that, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so in May of 2023, when Council passed the direction to give staff direction to work on the coastal planning and the cluster development, at that time staff made it clear that moving to coastal and cluster will slow down MODL 2040. So we knew that there was a pause there. We are, you know, this substantial amount of work has been done on the coastal and cluster. There are draft regulations. Unfortunately, the province mixed some things up there and made it a little bit more complicated for council. But there are draft documents that we'll be bringing forward to a future committee meeting for council's consideration. And so right now, where the majority of the work has been done, staff are behind the scenes working on the MODL 2040. So we're starting to work, pick that back up again, and we'll get that running again. Yes.
So again, this is process that we need to continue to do, and hopefully in the next few weeks we'll be able to draw a conclusion to the items that's been on the agenda for the last year. I have Councillor Bell and Councillor Hazel.
Thank you. I did admit in my discussion that I understand that we can't stop this project in an unzoned area. I'm completely aware of that, and I'm not being critical of our staff's work on coastal development. That is a very important project. We agreed that we needed to do it. All I'm saying is that if we need to put more emphasis on some of the other areas, then I don't know if we need additional resources or what we might need. I'm looking for solutions from my other council members here on how we proceed. And I would like to see the matter of trailers and shipping containers for residential purposes maybe sent to the planning department for their review, like just to see if how does this maybe fit into our MODL 2040 plan. We don't really have one yet, but I understand that the ability for people to phone in on that, your ideas for that section has been shut down now. So this is a project that happened after that. Nobody had an opinion before this development started. But now, when I say there's five households, there's probably eight people in those five households that are concerned. And they're telling me this person's concerned, that person's concerned. So there's others I haven't heard from. So I don't want to be seen as letting these people down by not having any type of something happening behind the scenes. They're already in a situation where it's not going to change. But what happens if 10 properties up, someone else says, oh, he did that, maybe I should do it. I'm just trying to prepare us.
Councillor Hazel.
Thank you. I hear what you're saying. So when we come to focusing on Modal 2040 again, I think that there does have to be, and I understand it's going to be complicated, but something, some kind of attention paid to this issue around RVs and the fact that they appear to be pretty unregulated. I know that I've had a number of issues with this in District 1. I know I'm not the only councillor to have these issues. Something that we did talk about previously was that the province used to have some regulations for campgrounds that included RVs, and that has been done away with. And I believe that we also requested that they take a look at that regulation and consider doing something with it again to have some kind of oversight of that kind of development, and the province declined or didn't move forward. It might be something that we want to look at doing again, because it's going to continue to be an issue of development. So to echo Councillor Bell, I do hope that when we're focusing again on Modal 2040, that even though it's a complicated one, it's something that we can work to address in some way.
And that act was the Tourist Accommodation Act. Yeah. Councillor Hoobley.
Oh, boy. This is not going to be popular. And I'm going to apologize. But 1 minute we're screaming for tiny houses because we have so many people living in their cars and in unhealthy conditions, and now we're going to whine about it. I don't think we have the right to tell people what they can do on their property. Their property that they've worked their whole life for, they've paid for it. I would not want this next door to me. But if it did come, it's their property, they own it. Yeah, for that reason, I can't support anything that comes forward with this. I'm sorry.
Deputy Mayor Roykel.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, do we have a timeline on the hopeful completion of our Modal 2040, and is that with our present staff, and could it be any faster if we had a few more people that were just on contract to work on it for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, so when we brought the report last May about delaying it, our timeline is the end of December 2025 for that completion. When we made an application for our CMHC Housing Accelerator Fund, we looked at MODL 2040 as a potential project that we could accelerate to speed that through. So I think if we wanted to speed up the process, we could look at, you know, hiring a consultant to help, you know, with that project and try to speed that along. Yeah, so it's definitely, there's an option, there's a cost to that, and we don't have that in our current budget. And we were unsuccessful with the CMHC Housing Accelerator Fund, so there would be a cost to do that.
Follow-up, Deputy Mayor Roykel.
Thank you. So you're saying that under present circumstances, we're hoping that it'll be done by the end of 2025.
That's our current work plan. Right. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
So again, I believe, Deputy Mayor Roykel, that you attended a open house on the weekend for Frederick Lake Estates, which is complete modular type container.
Yes, they're module homes that they're planning to put on slabs.
And that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of different units out there where these containers are being used to build homes and resorts and luxury developments as well. So I don't know the end result of these. I know that in the current phase of what we're talking about here, these may not be, again, aesthetically nice to look at. I'm not going to go into the... Yes, I know what they are.
Containers, they're prefabbed,
yes,
buildings.
So I will turn over to Councillor Statton now.
Thank you. We all know that we're mandated to do a land use plan.
Yep.
By 2040?
No.
2030? When are we supposed to have it done?
We've actually asked for an extension because it was supposed to be completed.
2023?
Yeah, at the end of 2023.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
We're past.
There's other units that are not completed as well.
Okay.
It's not just us.
So it's imminent that it's coming.
Yes.
Okay. And we all have encountered people who say, not in my backyard. They don't want housing. We want immigration. We want population growth. But nobody wants the housing in their backyard. And we've gotten that. I think every one of us have received that message from a lot of people. So before we put this land use planning in effect, I want to make sure that we understand that we should be doing a lot of public consultation with people before we go out and tell them what mm-hmm. they can do on the piece of property they bought.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just have the conversation around the table with councillors. Get yourself out in the public, not online, all that stuff. Go out and hear what people have to say. And I think that's really good policy to have so that you get a good understanding of what people want and what they'll tolerate, because I can see this is going to be really, really bad, especially with the around the water and different, and like I say, everybody has the same attitude. Don't put it in my backyard. I've got a trailer on either side of me. I don't care. It's their land. Put what you want on there. It doesn't matter to me. I don't live over there. But other people do. So let's get a good conversation going and find out what the public will tolerate and what they want, so we don't do something that's going to cause a lot of heartache to a lot of people.
Councillor Vino.
I'd like to see us start this and move forward, but first I'd like to close the gap on cluster development so we have that done before we take on another thing. And I think we're close to it. We got sidetracked a little bit with the province's announcement, but by separating cluster from coastal development, I think we could wrap up that piece and would like to see that sooner than later and then move forward with addressing the bigger issue.
Okay. So as far as direction, I'm not sure, Councillor Bell, if he was actually looking for a direction or a conversation, but it will come back in the MODL 2040 plan as we move forward.
I was only looking for a conversation, which I think already accomplished something. We know that we need to continue moving on.
Yes. And you had requested that the building department have a look to make sure that it is adhering, if that is your wish.
It's always good to be able to go back and tell the people our inspectors have found nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And some of them will still dote me, but that's just the way life is.
Okay, the next item on the agenda, 12.4, Councillor Vino, correction of record re-vote at last council meeting.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And I will apologize because apparently I missed a hand.
Yeah. Thank you for allowing me to bring this up. And I did go back and listen to the recording just to be sure because I wasn't confident myself. But at the Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024 special council meeting where we reviewed the capital and operating budget, there was a motion brought forward at the end, which I do have in front of me as a reminder to council. And that motion was to have staff bring back further data regarding a 3, 4, and 5 cent reduction to the tax rate and what impacts that may have on the 5-year plan. And I was opposed to that, and I would have normally brought that up on the minutes, but they weren't prepared yet. So I wanted to do that now so it reflects my decision at that time.
Thank you very much. And we will make sure that that is noted in the record. We are now down to 12.5, MJSB update.
I have a report. The meeting was held on the 27th of March, and the annual MJSB business plan approved by the board on March the 2nd, 2023, included a review of the MJSB agreement. Subject to legal review, the final version of the agreement is planned to be presented to the board for approval by May 2024, along with the schedules to the agreement. Following board approval, the agreement will be presented to the councils for approval. Regarding the strategic priorities, the MJSB 24-25 strategic priorities have been refined based on the board's direction. On November the 15th, 2023, and January the 10th, 2024, the board conducted strategic planning for 24-25 years, 2024-25. A list of 12 strategic priorities with costs and timing were reviewed for 24-25. The financial impact of the 24-25 strategic priorities have been included in the MJSB 24-25 operating and capital budget, which was approved by the board on January the 24th of 24. Two partner councils have approved the budget. The Municipality of District of Lunenburg has the items of the overall budget as part of the appropriate department's budgets, which will be presented this evening, April the 9th of 24. The board approved the activities and timing of the 24-25 strategic priorities, defined and directed staff to finalize the 24-25 MJSB budget business plan document and implement it accordingly. That's my report. Does anyone have any questions?
Questions, comments? If not, I will move on to Deputy Mayor's update.
I have attended all my meetings that I've been assigned as a councillor, as well as agenda briefings and check signings. I also attended the Frederick Laid Estate groundbreaking in Waterloo, as well as other community events.
So, Mayor's update, we had the Kidney Month flag raising. We had the Autism Awareness Month flag raising. Regular, dangerous, and unsightly. I was part of the MOU signing for the province of Nova Scotia on service exchange. NSFM executive meetings, MJSB, several breakfasts and fundraisers, and also a reminder that tonight is our budget special council meeting to pass the budget, and that is at 6:30, contrary to my surprise. Also, I hope that everyone took the opportunity yesterday with their special glasses to take part in a once and probably a lifetime, or it is from, well, no, twice. I actually witnessed it back in 77 or something, 8, 9, something. And I do recall that, and I recall my mother making sure that we wasn't allowed outside the house. So it was nice to be able to go out and sit and watch it actually transpire, and I guess across the country, and we couldn't have asked for a better weather or anything else than to partake in it. So that concludes my update, and I would entertain a motion to go in camera. Moved by Councillor Wynott, seconded by Councillor Haysom. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried unanimously.